Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Praise to you, Lord.
Among those who had come up to worship at the feast of Passover were some Greeks. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and put this request to him. "Sir, we should like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Philip and Andrew in turn came to inform Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I solemnly assure you, unless the grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The person who loves his life loses it, while the one who hates life in this world preserves it to life eternal. If anyone would serve me, let that person follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be. Anyone who serves me, the Father will honor. My soul is troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this hour that I came. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from the sky, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." When the crowd of bystanders heard the voice, they said it was thunder. Others maintained an angel was speaking to him. Jesus answered, "That voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now has judgment come upon this world. Now will this world's prince be driven out. And I, once I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This statement of his indicated the sort of death he was going to die. And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't know if you've all had the pleasure of meeting this beautiful woman here, Elena Abdu, but besides providing us with her gifts of music at Mass on Sunday, concurrently, she's appearing in a play in Alexandria, Man of La Mancha. Behold Aldonza. I mean Dulcinea. Some of us went to the play last Sunday night, and it was, as the four or five times previously I saw that play, a wonderful experience, a very earthy performance. But a particular part of it struck me this time with the performance and the melodies still in my head as I was preparing for this liturgy, preparing for this homily. I was remembering one particular song from Man of La Mancha, where his faithful friend Sancho, who could never rationalize or explain to you this crazy guy, Don Quixote, who was laughed at by most and feared by many because of his wild ideas, his incredible, uncontrollable optimism and altruism. Somebody finally said to Sancho, "Listen, you ought to have better sense. Why do you do the things you do? Why do you follow him?" And he said, Because I like him." And those who've enjoyed that show will remember that song, and it struck me that it's kind of in harmony with the challenge in the first reading today. Where God says to our mothers and fathers in the desert, the Old Testament people, he said, "I tried to get you to do things by obeying my laws. And I really don't like the outcome. I don't like looking at you as people that get hung up on laws and start keeping track of whether you broke them or not, and whether the next person's breaking of the law was worse than yours, and so on." He said, I want to erase all that. I want to write my law in your hearts, not on tablets outside, I want you to be a people who are not legalistic, but boldly loving and daring. Not needing all kinds of props and defenses and prior arrangements to be sure you're doing all right. Not needing checklists of sins and virtues, but having my spirit in your heart so deeply that law will become, in a sense, irrelevant and unnecessary for you. And from then until now, God has been calling his people to open their hearts and let him write this law therein on that fleshy tablet. But his people, including us, are still resisting. There is in us at least a tendency, for some of us, almost a mad passion, to have that law to depend upon, to be able to check it off as done and taken care of, to be able to measure other people by their conformity to the law or their apparent breach thereof. But we all know that given the human condition, it's really quite appropriate that at least for part of our life, we learn laws and rules and regulations. It is not realistic to ask the baby in the mother's arms to be an altruist, to seek nourishment only when it's absolutely necessary. We have to grow to the point where our hearts are large and tender enough for that law to be written in it. We all must go through a period, children, in fact, and in faith, who learn the laws, learn certain guiding principles and traditions of the family and the faith by which we can, in fact, measure things. For every one of us, there is that experience within our family of being told, don't you ever do that again. Why not? Because I said so. It would be a very beautiful but terribly naive parent who expected the children to do everything right out of the love of God and in spirit of service to neighbor. Certain boundaries have to be set and certain disciplines have to be imposed when we're children. But if we were the Christians we're called to be, we would reach a point of spiritual maturity where we'd know it's right because we'd feel it in the depth of our being. We wouldn't have to say, now let me see, what did it say on page 24? Is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? It would be an absurdity to even think in those terms. But we will continue to cling to a way that allows us to have it spelled out, predictable, scientifically arranged, computer lists, you might say, of virtue. And God will continue to poke us and to prod us and keep on trying by his Spirit to open us up so he can write that law in our hearts and lead us to bold and dramatic deeds in his Spirit, set free from the law. Remember, Jesus said to the law enforcers in his time, away with your laws. If my men are hungry, they're going to go in the field and get the wheat, even though it's against the Sabbath law. You people have got it all mixed up. The laws are made for people, not people for the laws. And to this day, the lawmakers and the law enforcers and the people in authority keep on getting, you might say, constrained or boggled down by the texts of the law without living the Spirit. And we, all too willingly and all too often, follow their example. Now, I should admit that if you or I were to accept this challenge of Jesus to live by the Spirit rather than by the law, life would become so much less predictable. Just wouldn't be nearly so neat or reassuring. And it'll scare us, but that's okay. Look at Jesus in today's gospel. He knew what it all meant. He said it so well. He said, you have to let go. You have to risk something. I will have to. I have to be ready to die like a grain of wheat in order to bring forth what God has destined. He said all that. And then when he got to the garden and was on his knees, he started sweating blood. And he said, but Father, let the cup pass me by without having to drink it. And the same Jesus, moments, you might say, before he made the supreme act of love, above and beyond all law, looked toward heaven and he said, why'd you let me down? Why have you forsaken me? It's that kind of risk, that frightening kind of challenge that we must accept from God. To be people of the law of love, rather than people of the letter of the law. That's what I see as God's challenge to us today in this liturgy. I had an interesting experience a couple of weeks ago. I was breaking the law right here before your eyes. I had Sarah come up and serve, and Christy came up and served Mass. And that same Sunday, at the risk of sounding boastful, I thought my homily was, well, just this side of courageous. I took all of you on and challenged your way of life, your comfortable little niches in the economic system that we call capitalism. I said I was standing with the Pope in his new encyclical. But I said it knowing that the people of this country are not going to welcome that, generally speaking, any more than the communists are going to welcome his message to them in their context. I thought it was kind of bold. I thought it was challenging. I thought it was something that you could really get hold of and get stirred up about. And at the end of the Mass, so I went down with my two beautiful servers, got to the back of the church, and there was a stranger I'd never seen before. He did not greet me, but he just said, how come you got altar girls? Isn't that against the law? I thought, wow, he might as well have asked me in ancient Aramaic for all my capacity to answer that question here and now. We just were in two different places. He was right. I'm breaking the law again. Look here. See those flowers? There's a law the church says no flowers during Lent. But those are the flowers from the Liturgy of Resurrection for our beautiful parishioner Amanda Halford, who was buried from this church on Friday. And I guess in my own way I said, the law be damned. Those flowers should be here to call the whole parish to capture the spirit and celebrate with the family for Amanda, whose name, by the way, means she must be loved. You know, when you read in the papers about this funny guy, Ev Meekum, in Arizona, it is at your peril that you write him off as some kind of eccentric nut and think that's the end of it. Ev Meekum speaks for a lot more people than most of us would want to admit, and he may be speaking for a part of many of us. Ev Meekum said, no Martin Luther King holiday. The law was not properly enacted. And of course, if you could stand in Ed Meekum's shoes, you'd realize why he'd say that. Remember what Martin Luther King was all about. He was the guy who said sometimes virtue and the Christian thing to do is to defy the law. Civil disobedience. He actually said to a whole nation and to the whole world, sometimes the virtuous thing to do is defy and break the law because the law has gotten in the way of the love of God in the lives, in the hearts, and in the deeds of his people. From Ev's point of view, we certainly shouldn't have a holiday for a guy like that. And then what happens to governors and senators and congressmen and principals of schools and everything? When, I mean, you start saying people figure these laws out for themselves and decide which ones to keep and which ones to break? Horrors! God deliver us! Let us all get back in line and, like loyal and faithful sheep, obey the law. God is speaking about that reality to you and to me today. He is challenging us to rise above the law. But just as surely as every parent among you knows how necessary it is to discipline and in a certain sense confine your children in different ways from time to time until they've caught the spirit, so must we, still children, still immature, each of us in our own way, be respecters of law in the measure and to the extent that they help keep some order among us so that we can get on with the business of living and building community. But when the law becomes an end in itself, then we must end that law by bold and courageous means. God's talking about that. I hope you're listening, and I hope each of us has an answer. Tell me now, if you will, just repeat the words that God spoke in this first reading and see if you think I'm right. This was, in the Old Testament time, the people were still out there in the desert. The people who had received the law on the tablets. And God said, I will make a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers and mothers the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth like little children from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show them myself as master. But this is the covenant which I will make. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and kinsmen how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord. I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. Today's celebration poses a question to each of us. Is that law of God's love truly written in your heart? And if your answer is yes, then today's liturgy ought to be the biggest, boldest, most grateful thank you can possibly muster. And if your answer is just sort of, or maybe, or not yet, then this liturgy ought to be the most passionate prayer you can offer, that God will open your heart today and write that law there on that fleshy tablet. It's up to you.